Well, greetings. Once again, my name is John Johnson, and I'm doing the September current events update message for our website. The times in which we live, especially for Messianic believers who consider God's calendar, the Hebrew calendar, this month's update falls on the 40 days time period that's traditionally known as the season of Teshuvah, which means to return or to repent. In our modern calendars, this time period corresponds with August the 21st through September the 30th. On the Hebrew calendar, this time period is the month of Elul 1 through Tishri 10, which gives us the 40 days, as the Hebrew calendar is on a 30-day lunar cycle. This is the season as the time of the fall festivals, which includes Rosh Hashanah, or the day of the blowing of trumpets, Yom Terah, which is Tishri 1, as defined in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, and then 10 days later, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, the day the books are closed, in a sense, also the Day of Judgment, which is also described in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 27 through 32. The third and the last festival is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, 5 days later on Tishri 15. And again, we refer to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 34 through 43. This last festival symbolizes the harvest of God's chosen at the end of days, and can be considered an ingathering, so to speak. And it includes the wedding feast of the Lamb, the celebration spoken of when we get into the book of Revelation in those events. Believers who embrace the entire Bible for how to live instructions from God, and who see Yeshua's person and salvation work exampled in these feasts of the Lord, as described in Leviticus chapter 23:44, because God actually says these are His feast, and sometimes people refer to them as the Jews' feast. Of course, the Jews are much more faithful in recognizing these events. Bible, though, is written for everyone, not just the Jews. And God actually calls these His feast. And at the time He gave this instruction to Moses at Mount Sinai, there actually were Hebrews there. The Jews, or the term Jews, didn't come about until about the 6th or 5th century, about the time of return from the Babylonian captivity or thereabout. But nevertheless, these festivals are for instructions for all of us to learn from, and they're good. And as we enter into the study of these things, we find out why. Believers who embrace the entire Bible for how to live these instructions of God, and who see Yeshua's person and salvation work exampled in these feasts of the Lord, which Yahweh calls His feasts in chapter 23, verse 44. These believers are actually drawn to these biblical calendar events as a celebration of praise and thanksgiving, because what they believe is part of their covenant heritage from God through His promise to Abraham. So what about this season of Teshuvah, or repentance? This season of self-examination is an annual assessment of our spiritual life as it has been presented in our thoughts, our words, our actions before God and our fellow man. Now, for this to work as God intended, we must honestly evaluate ourselves and remember Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11, where he's speaking of the Passover cup and the bread with caution of our condition of fitness to partake of the drink and the bread. He says to examine ourselves and explains if we honestly judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He goes on to say, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And as believers in the redemptive work of Yeshua at Calvary, we, of all people, should embrace this season of Teshuvah, or repentance, because really, Yeshua is what it's all about, and the work that he did at Calvary enables us to be able to come to a place to recognize these teachings and understand the important role they play in our lives to help us walk as he walked. One of the many benefits of weekly reading of the traditional Torah portions and accompanying Haftarah is that we get a continual washing of the water of God's Word, which prepares us for the mindset we need. After all, the only measure of our fitness for any opinion that God would have of us, at least from his point of view. Therefore, as we measure ourselves, we must conclude that we come up short, wanting, as it is said of the king who was celebrating with the vessels of the temple in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. When Daniel the prophet read the handwriting on the wall, he says, "You've been weighed in the balances and you've come up short, you've come up wanting." That's what we will they come up with if we evaluate ourselves and look at ourselves in an honest view as God would see us. But thankfully, Yeshua has stepped up as our Redeemer kinsman and restores us to a complete and right standing with the Holy God. And if we confess our sins and ask forgiveness, it says in the scriptures, and we have honest hearts and sincere hearts, God knows that, and he forgives us, and we pass from death into life. And thankfully, Yeshua has made that possible for us. But we have to go through that process of examination and repentance, because the Holy Spirit is faithful and honest, and when we do these evaluations of our own self, we find out that he helps us see the truth if we will walk in it. And of course, this introspection mindset that we're talking about here should be on a daily practice, not just during a traditional season of the year, but there's a special part of this season that makes it special in the traditional sense. Do you realize that even our Lord Yeshua, he joined his family in the traditional Torah readings each week? When he was growing up as a child, he would have been in the synagogue, and they would have been reading the same scriptures and Haftarah that we read today in our time. And to me, that's an amazing thing, that even in that day, these same principles, the traditions of reading the Torah portions on the Sabbath and discussing their principles was going on in his day, and it's been carried down all through the ages. The Jewish people have brought us that tradition, and it's a very important thing to appreciate. Of course, Yeshua was not a sinner, and he didn't need to repent or go through any of that. But his participation in the Torah studies sets the proper biblical example for all of us. So let's look for a moment here at the work that God, Yahweh, has been about from the beginning. He has been separating us, redeeming us, restoring us. And when Adam sinned, he was cast out of the Garden of Paradise. He was separated from the Tree of Life, which theretofore he had full access to. But Adam, he succumbed to the devil's lies and temptation and chose to disobey Yahweh's commandments. The Bible tells us that Adam was separated from the Tree of Life to keep him from being corrupted forever. In the Bible, we read in 1 John 2:16, where it says that the weakness of the fleshly desires are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These fleshly pursuits will separate us from a holy God, and because Satan, at Adam's fall, acquired a temporary leasehold on planet Earth, and then until Yeshua returns to take away Satan's leasehold over mankind's dwelling place, we have to deal with that in a very real sense. And of course, Yeshua's return will be at Yahweh's appointed time as well. There's a great cosmic battle ongoing for the souls of men, and it has to do with this very subject of trying to cause men to chase after the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and the same thing that the enemy tried to do when he came to tempt Yeshua in the wilderness. If you remember, Yeshua answered him from the different temptations. He answered him out of the scriptures, word for word, out of the book of Deuteronomy, out of the Torah. He responded the word of God back to the tempter, as we should as well. So when we follow Yeshua, when we choose to follow him, our Savior, we are divinely separated from Satan's power. And this is part of God's work of separation. When we come to Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, we are born again. We are separated from the power of Satan through that very work that Yeshua has done for us. And we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and in the kingdom of God. We are saved or born again by taking Yeshua as our Lord and Savior. And that separation from the sin world, but yet we're not taken out of the sin world. We're just separated from it, but we are still in it. Of course, this is God's desire that everyone is to be saved and that we would not perish. That's why Yeshua was foreordained in the very beginning. He was foreordained as to be our Redeemer, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And a great part of being separated into God's kingdom is that Yahweh begins the lifelong restoration work in the redeemed of Yeshua, because they are his brethren. The Bible says that Yeshua is the firstborn of many brethren, which was Yahweh's secret from the beginning. And you notice I'm calling Jesus Yeshua, which is his biblical name, and no disrespect for anyone who calls our Savior Jesus, but I think if we're going to call him by his real name, it has meaning, because the actual name Yeshua in the Hebrew means salvation, and he is our Savior. As believers study God's word and apply the good seed to the soil of their circumcised hearts, the good fruit comes from the good seed of God's word, so the good seed produces those living works in the people's lives. All of this is a work of faith and that the believer has in God's word. So all of these things that we're talking about here is a faith action, faith in Yeshua, faith in God's word, faith that what God has promised, the good seed as it's planted in our lives, as he's restoring us, will bring forth the good works in our lives. Let us now consider Abraham and our inheritance of the covenant. Yahweh chose to use Abraham, whose faith in God and Yahweh was accounted to him, to Abraham, as righteousness. That's important there, because this is a principle that will carry through in your life and mine. We are saved by grace through faith, and as Abraham's faith in that time was the same as the faith we have now, and it has the same results. So Yahweh chose to use Abraham to start that, and he is called the father of our faith. And so when Abraham took his only son Isaac up to Mount Moriah to obey God's call to offer his only son as a sacrifice, of course, which he didn't, the angel stopped him, but as he took him up there, he took him up there in obedience, and that was important to note. And Yahweh was testing, not tempting, but he was testing Abraham. Now, this event of the offering of Isaac was a foreshadowing of God's plan to offer his only begotten son, Yeshua, at Calvary as the Redeemer of all who have faith and believe. So then Yahweh chose to work his plan to separate to himself a special people through a faith man, who was Abraham, who would be called the father of our faith. It's noteworthy that Yahweh chose to do a show-and-tell series of events for all the world to witness, and that could be understood in every tongue and every people. this great story of all the ages would be the history of a people called Israel. Remember now, Abraham's son of promise, Isaac, had a son named Jacob, Abraham's grandson. Jacob would have his name changed to Israel, and he would become the father of the 12 men who would be the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel. God, Yahweh, promised Abraham a land of promise, Canaan land at the time, that Israel would inherit forever, but not yet. It would be 430 years later. Israel would be in Egypt under bondage, and at the appointed time of Yahweh, he would separate them and deliver them, an event, of course, we call the Exodus. Yahweh would make the appointed time an eternal remembrance, and we know it as the Passover. Passover would begin the spring festivals, which also include first fruits, unleavened bread, and Shavuot, or Pentecost. So we have those four in the spring. As noted before, Yahweh calls the appointed times his feast, his festivals, all clearly explained, actually commanded, in chapter 23 of Leviticus. As we consider the biblical narratives, what should be some of the things that we should learn? Again, we are back to what Yahweh is doing, what he's doing to teach us his ways, and how he wants us to relate to him. First, when Israel cried out in their bondage, Yahweh sent a deliverer, Moses, to separate them from a pagan environment. After Yahweh separates Israel, he brings them to a set-apart place to teach them, a place called Mount Sinai. Now keep in mind, he's been providing for their needs all along the way. 50 days after the Passover and Exodus from Egypt, Yahweh gave Israel the Torah at Mount Sinai on what we know as Pentecost, but it wasn't known to us as Pentecost as we look at it back then, but became Pentecost in the reading of the New Testament. But the dates were the same and the principle was the same. It was what God did on 50 days. And of course, the word Pentecost is in the Greek means 50. Yahweh would now begin to restore his redeemed people just as he promised Abraham. Of course, Israel was unruly and unthankful, and that cost that generation the loss of the entrance into the promised land, all except for Joshua and Caleb, that is. But that's another story, and time doesn't permit me to elaborate much on that either. So we have the year 2017, the Hebrew calendar year 5777, 5777, which number has caused many to propose interesting thoughts concerning the end times. But again, we'll move along with the message's main focus. We won't talk about that here. That being this season of Teshuvah, or the time of self-examination, as our main focus. Now, it's noteworthy to remind us that everything in life is about our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny is a composite of our choices. Need I also remind us that only God, Yahweh, gets to make the rules. We can only make the choices. The Bible, the Torah section, tells us in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record or bear witness this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I would that you would choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Now, from what Yahweh explains here, it would seem we are the sole master of our destiny by our choices. Now, having been duly served notice, let's remember what Paul cautioned his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, about. He told Timothy clearly that Yahweh knows all those that are his, and this one foundation is sure. that everyone who names the name of Christ, or Yeshua, must depart or be separated from iniquity. Similar to the warning in Deuteronomy 30:19, is it not? That's in 2 Timothy 2:19. In the modern world today, it seems everything is a blur. Everything around us is trying to obscure the clarity in every distinction that there is. We are in a social and philosophical homogenizer that wants to shape us into indistinguishable globs of humanity. Consider this. My friend and brother in the faith, Bob Ward, sent me an email with this prayer from a pastor, a Joe Wright, in Kansas. I'd like you to listen to what he's saying here and think about what I just said about our society and the way that things are trying to completely distort everything that we see and think and understand. Heavenly Father, we know your word says, "Woe to those who call evil good." But that's exactly what we have done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We've endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We've exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We've shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We've neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We've used power, called it politics. We've embezzled public funds and called it essential expenses. We've institutionalized bribery and called it suites of office. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. Well, in closing, let's take to heart this lesson from the ancient paths that we've been called to return to. Yahweh set these feasts of the Lord in place for what he calls an eternal commandment, so we would participate and not forget. And there is one more thing. This biblical moed, or this appointed time, is also known as the season of our joy, because we know the good that our Heavenly Father desires for us. Amen. God bless you.